especially with all these cords.
Oh God, yes. She's so cute. Oh, I love that baby.
Good morning and welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed on a Saturday. We're going to be getting into the truth of God through open Socratic conversation. And hope everybody's having a good morning, and we'll see you in just a few seconds.
Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed.
Here we are, bright and early on a Saturday morning. You know, not so bright outside yet, but we'll get there by spring. This morning, we're going to talk about the head covering that Paul spoke about in Corinthians when it pertains to women. And really, as we get into it, well, there'll be more to it because Mother's going to just guide us the direction she wants us to go. And this morning we have Anna Ruth back with us. We didn't feel that it would be fitting to just have me and Sean sitting here talking about this and to actually have the voice of a female who is the topic.
That's me.
We're all still wiping our eyes, trying to get the sleep out of our eyes. So,
yeah, there's no coffee here. Normally there's coffee.
Yeah, I failed on that one. Okay, so there was a question that I had seen somebody post, and people post honest questions, and they want to know, and a church that they had been to previous couldn't answer it for them. And I thought, you know what? That'd be a good thing to cover on the podcast. So we're going to cover about head coverings and what Paul was saying and what mothers take and mothers' understanding, along with Abba and Yahusha. And here's a key thing that is important for anybody who's seeking God with all of your heart and you want to know the truth. You can't set aside things. You can't pick and choose and say, well, we have to follow this, but we don't have to follow that. Now, we shouldn't have to, with circumcision of the heart, we shouldn't have to follow anything. We should want to, because it's the desire of our heart that we want to be pleasing to God, and therefore, if the Word of God says something, I'm going to do it and talk to God, and I'm going to talk to God until they clarify to me to do something different, because I want to be pleasing to God because I want to be, not because I have to be. There's no obligation to it. And I want to also bring up the fact that when we talk about submission, okay, This is a huge thing. We had a podcast on it in the past, and even now, it's really important to understand what submission is, because the definition in the world, what happens is people say the word submission, but they see a different word, and that word is oppression, you know, being forced to submit. And we want to make it perfectly clear that if you're being forced to submit, you're not submitting. You're doing it out of obligation. That's just the fact of it. It's obligatory. And, you know, we've talked about some of this in the faith journey, that obligation is going to be a part of it at the beginning, because when you see God as a terror, you don't want to displease them. So, well, this is what God said. That's what I'm going to do. So then we want to get to circumcision of the heart, where we transform that to, now this is, I want to do what's pleasing to God. And therefore, when something comes along and the word says it, I'm not going to circumvent it and try to figure out some way that I don't have to follow it, rather than spend time talking to God, talking to Mother and Abba and Yahusha, and asking them, clarify, what is the spirit of this? How do you want me to handle this? And then I can do it. And the sad reality is if you don't take it to God and ask them, how can you know what they want? And if you can't hear their voices, you can't know what they want. And so just getting back to the, when we talk about submission, submission is a willful cooperation, and willful removes any obligation. And so we do not want to try to force somebody to be obligated, I mean, to be submissive, because again, those two terms don't go together. You can't force submission. Even if somebody's if somebody's forcing somebody to do something and they say, you know what, I choose, I want to do this anyway, then that takes away the oppression and it lays in submission. And so just wanted to bring that up as a important point.
And just to jump in really quick before we get into the scripture, with the submission part, just to clarify that normally in the scripture, when it's talking specifically to women, that is in the husband-wife dynamic, not that women are to be submissive to all men. Now, there is in the gathering a call for everybody to be mutually submissive to each other and to whomever Yah has appointed as the leaders of that church. And that's very simply to maintain the order in worship and make sure that you're, I mean, you should be peaceable anyway. But if there are any questions or anything, Yah has laid out that chain of authority of the overseers do just keep the sense of order if there were to be an argument or something, not that there should be, but, and then ultimately taking it to Yah as well. But just wanted to jump in since we're going to get into some women specific scriptures. That was something I hadn't picked up on in my early Christian days, was that for the most part, it's talking about everybody being cooperative in the gathering, and then specifically in husband and wife relationships.
And you're right with that, because it's important because of the unity perspective, because God talks about men and women in a marriage relationship as being a whole. So, you know, because man is not independent of woman and woman is not independent of man. So the two of them together are a whole. And how could a ball roll down the street if both halves are fighting against each other rather than working together? Because, well, we're a ball, so we're going to stay together and we're going to roll. And so it is important. And that point that you brought up about being submissive to the husband, not just a blanket man, that is hugely important, because we want to make it clear that women aren't, from a general sense, intended to be submissive to men. We're talking in a faith perspective, and that doesn't excuse a woman who has faith and a husband who has a husband that doesn't have faith, that you still fall in submission, cooperation with him, and then let God handle him. Just like, you know, for me, I learned a while ago that if I just focus on myself and leave Cindy alone, then God will take care of whatever her issues are. Now, that doesn't remove times where we had to have conversations because of things that weren't inappropriate or things that were inappropriate. But her coming around to faith, and now we have a a great relationship, and we work cooperatively together. We don't very seldom do we have like what you would call an argument anymore, because it's all about the mindset of being unified to one another in that concept.
And the Word of God also says that where do fights and quarrels come from among you? Do they not come because of the things that you want and desire, and you can't have it, and you don't receive because you don't want to ask God? And so this is, and we said this before, people could look at this as, well, this is controversial. It's not controversial. It's just having the understanding by having Mother, the Spirit of God, to bring revelation on what it means, because this is, could be a point of contention on pointing the finger at each other because of lack of understanding and lack of having the Spirit of God, that there'll be opinions and assumptions on this, and then it'll divide people. But the point of us doing this is for those that really want to know the truth, that this is to bring understanding on an issue in the actual Church of Messiah, not talking about what people in the world do. This is talking about what the people of God and the understanding of what the Scripture is talking about, because it doesn't matter what the translation of it is. It's the understanding. And the only way you're going to get understanding is to have the author, which is Mother, Yeshua, and Abba, to give information, and so that you can understand what it means, so that there is no arguments or contention.
Well, this is not necessarily a point of contention. This has been a point of some confusion for me for a good many years, just because I didn't have what I would so in faith, there, whenever we get revelation, it's solid. Like, it makes sense, it's logical, and you can explain it without any issues. And I wasn't able to do it with this scripture until yesterday, actually. So this has been a journey for me of, I don't know, 9 or 10, I'm old. 9 or 10 years? Oh my goodness. No longer, actually, because these scriptures have been talked about in my family for a long time. And it's so cool. And this is why I love faith so much, because Phil and I had chatted about it, and I'm not going to share because we'll get into that later, but it's really exciting. And I absolutely love that about faith, because you get these answers that make sense, they're logical, and it just provides clarification. And then there's no reason. I mean, if someone wants to run around pointing their finger at me, they can, and that's their choice. But I know the truth, and it's just so easy, simple, and clear. So I'm super excited about what we're going to get into this morning.
And being easy, simple, and clear, all in the concepts and the understandings that Yah brings, but we know that the battle is against self. It's a battle of wills. And is your conscious mind going to overtake your lower conscious mind? Is your mind going to overtake your heart and then change your heart? So,
no, and I really like that clarification, because so growing up, and if you've heard any of the other podcasts that I've been able to be a part of, I grew up in a very Christian, authoritative, fire and brimstone, fundamentalist kind of type of family, and had to wear dresses. I had to have long hair. I was, so a lot of legalistic and rules. And I was taught that essentially women are completely inferior to men. We were lesser, all this kind of stuff. So I have done my personal selfish battle with some of the things in scripture. And for me, this is a script. So all of the, I guess, women specific scriptures are ones that are near and dear to me, because this has been longer than a decade worth of research and talking to God on my part. And a big part of it for me, what I can see, is Yah testing my heart to see, you don't understand this, but you want us. And so that has, I've always like continued to push forward and just say, I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't see how it lines up, but I know you, I know you're fair and just. So I'm going to keep moving forward in this until, if I can get the clarification, that would be amazing. And if not, well, then at some point I will, whether it's in this life or the next. But it hasn't been just like a easy, simple bebopping along. It's been some beating the body into submission, dragging myself forward. Like, nope, you're not going to get entitled and selfish over here.
And in all honesty, who has been your worst enemy?
Oh, myself. Yeah. I mean, the power of the mind. One of the things I say is that being truly honest with yourself is particularly challenging. And I've gotten much better at it because of faith and partly because of the way my brain analyzes. But it is challenging. Like, when you break it down, you have to look at, it's not enough to say, I feel angry because the way this scripture reads and the way I was taught, it sounds like I'm a lesser being. Well, you have to like dive into the levels of that. And then you question, well, who told you? Do they have, when I say the right to say that, obviously they can express their opinion, but evaluate that person. Where do they stand in faith? Do they have faith? Like, you just kind of break it down. And then on the personal side, you have to acknowledge of, well, if God says you're lesser, which they don't, but if they did, you know, and how do you make your peace with that? And so there's a lot of levels and layers to it. Just for me specifically, I can't speak for anybody else, but it's definitely been a battle of wills in myself. And thankfully, I'm a very willful person. So.
And be careful of getting your information from people, especially if they're circumventing what the Word of God says. If there's a statement about what you should do or how you should behave, then you do your utmost to behave in that manner because you want to be pleasing to God. And then you spend time talking to God and asking them to clarify, is this how you want me to do it, or is there a different way you want me to do it? People stop changing or not doing something because you're listening to other people say, you should do this or you shouldn't do that. Let the only one that tells you to do something different from what the Bible says and is written here is God themselves. Because that's our encouragement as we share these things, that we're not going to change what the Word says, but don't believe us, believe what the Word says. And then when you read it in the Word, it's there for a reason. And it's there for us to follow, whether it be from a physical perspective in this world or from a spiritual perspective that we don't understand yet. Just like Messiah, when the disciples were walking through the grain field and plucking off the grain and eating it with dirty hands. And, you know, the Pharisees are talking to Messiah, why are your people doing this? And he's like, I'm the Lord of the harvest. I know what's going on. And so if God tells you to do something different, and this is why it's important to make sure that you can clearly and distinctly recognize the voice of God and the voice of the enemy, because the enemy can come to you like an angel of light and try to convince you to do something. So whatever you do, don't listen to man. When the Bible says this is what you should do, well, that was a custom back here. And no, okay, maybe it was a custom, but it's in the Bible and it's there for a reason. So I'm going to follow this until I figure out from Yah if there's a different way they want me to handle it. And I will do that until they show me a different way, because I want to be pleasing to them. That's in their Word. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, yeah, like that, like Anna Ruth, I'm wearing a hat right now where I'm wearing a covering on my head. Well, I have to do this because I was going to either this or something, but I just thought it'd be, if anybody would notice that I'm wearing a head covering. Well, in our gathering, do we have anybody wearing a head covering? Like a physical head covering? And the reason, and we don't, and it's Yah has not impressed on us, well, why aren't you wearing a head covering? Now, obviously, Yah says we want you to wear a head covering, then it's on. Like, I don't even have to think about it. It's going on now. And but that's the issue. It's obedience to God is where the righteousness lies. Not, it wouldn't matter if, well, it matters what Yah wants you to do. But like with this, with why wouldn't you look at it and say, well, this says women are supposed to wear a head covering, so I'm going to put a head covering on instead of people saying, well, you need to and you need to. Well, like you said, the word of God says it. So that's the desire of the heart is, what does Yah say to do? And if you don't know, well, Yah, do you want me to wear a head covering? The word says it. I haven't been. Is there a reason? Do you want me to? And if you get something or not, you do what they tell you to do, because that's the obedience to God. And we've said this many times, is the most important thing, is more important than sacrifice. So instead of spending time with other people thinking that they should do, inquire of Yah to say, what do you want me to do in this? Because they're, like you said, that they don't just put something in there just to do it. No, there's a reason for it. There's an order, which we'll be getting into this. But yeah, I mean, because we've had times like this that Yah will say, sit on the floor for a while and then do this or do that. And you know, we had some moments of not understanding, but it doesn't mean you don't do it. You say, well, I don't understand, but I'm going to do it because it's what I want to do, and go from there. So this isn't the only scripture where there's going to be people that misunderstand. It just happens to be one that came up that is a very good question, because the person that actually asked this question, you know, I'm discerning that they really, or their mindset is they want to do what the word of God says. So I'm not really sure. So help me to, so I can do what is right. Ultimately.
Well, and the most important thing about doing your best to fulfill what the word says is all has to do with obedience. That, well, if I'm to be obedient to God and the word says do this, then I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it until God makes it clear that, no, okay, do it this way, but we're going to modify that just a little bit, and we're going to change, and so do this. Okay, because part of what the Bible is for is to see who is willing to obey God through what is written on the page, rather than to have to hear God's voice, and then I'll obey them. No, because it's a test of faith. Either you believe the Bible is from God or not. And again, we know that the Bible within itself is fallible, every version, even the scrolls, because Messiah talked about the lying pen of the scribes. And so, but regardless, whatever it says, what you're doing at that point is you're showing God that I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to obey you even when other people say, well, you don't have to do that. And you don't look, the Bible says that. God hasn't told me anything different, so that's what I'm going to do. And until you have the clarification from God, walk in obedience to what the word says. And that's what I was saying earlier. Don't write off things just because you don't understand them or just because they may sound strange. If you want to be pleasing to God, the key factor in order for you to be able to be drawn to Messiah is for you to show that you're going to be obedient to what the written code is first, so that you can then be transferred to a place of getting to the spiritual aspect of the code. And so it's just, those are important things that we need to understand as well.
When I just got this, so I'm a pretty relatively new mom. I have a 14-month-old, and everything in my life goes back to her as far as spiritually right now. So I was thinking, with the test of obedience, one, the reason I'm tested in the female scriptures is because if there had been any indication that I would fall away, that would be the reason that I would have fallen away. And so I have been over the coals or something. Like, this has been where Yah has tested me the strongest to make sure that they could protect me, from committing the unforgivable sin and walking away from faith. So putting me through these tests and through the trials I've gone through with this, as a weird picture may be, is a form of their protection. And you might think, and I was just sitting here thinking that, like, you know, with obedience, wouldn't it be so much easier to obey if, like, you knew all the stuff? But then I started thinking about my tiny human and my little daughter, and she's not at the point where she can understand why I won't let her play in the trash or play in the road or put her head under the faucet, like all these things that she's been trying to do. And I'm doing them to protect her. But in her little mind, she gets upset with me and frustrated and tears. And we're learning the emotion anger right now. So we're throwing very teeny tiny little tantrums right now. So that's, and again, if you flip that to ourselves in faith, I can see exactly where I've done that, specifically for me in regards to some of the things that pertain to women. So
this is really cool, Anna Ruth, because with the work that I do in insurance, in thinking about a covering, that insurance is referred to as having insurance coverage, that a covering, protection. So this isn't like I'm wearing a hat right now. Well, why am I wearing a hat? Like, let's say it's August in the afternoon. It's for protection. And yeah, you can wear it for, you know, vanity if you want, you know, people to look at you or whatever for attention. I'm not saying that that's not a part of it, but just thinking about this as we get into this, it just came to mind that when we mention covering, because insurance coverage, you're not walking outside and the company is on top of your vehicle. No, it's just they provide protection when there is an issue that, all right, well, you're covered, because I say this all the time, you're covered with this. Well, you have skin on your body. Well, it protects the internal organs. You have the shell of a car, protects you as you ride inside. You have a seatbelt, which is your covering, your protection. So a lot of this, as well as a covering, is a status of protection from Yah.
And just listening as you were speaking, it just talks about the programming that you were programmed by man to the aspect of oppressive obligation in the pretense of submission. And one of the greatest tests of faith would be, are you able to give that to God, even though it was misused in the world, and just trust that they know what they're doing and it's going to be okay? Because the biggest thing that you have to overcome is your programming. And that's the battle of wills, you against you, that you, it's your conscious mind says you want to do one thing, but your programming in your lower conscience is saying something completely different. And you have to have strength of mind. If you're weak-minded, you can't overcome that programming. And for anybody out there listening, I know Anna Ruth quite well, and she is the farthest thing from weak-minded, but with faith in Yah, she also fills all the areas that Yah has laid out for how a woman is to conduct herself. And like all of us, there's programming in the lower conscience that we're continually working on, driving it out and putting good stuff in, and we all have that. So it's really the test, like for you, Anna Ruth, it's the test of, okay, well, man told you wrong and made you feel bad about it. So are you going to just neglect God because man did it wrong? And that's a tough thing to overcome, especially if you don't realize that you're brainwashed in mind control starting from birth. And again, we've talked about this before. It's good, provided it's done in the appropriate manner and that you recognize and you understand what your programming is. But that's the paradox of your battle of wills is your will against your will, your conscious will against your lower conscious will. And trust me, your lower conscious will has been working out for a long time. And your conscious mind has been given in to that lower conscience time after time. So there has to be a steadfast set No, I'm not doing this anymore, and I'm going to figure out what God wants, and that's what I'm going to do, because I want to. I want to be pleasing to God, and so don't let any man tell you not to do something, because for any reason, whether it be cultural or that doesn't apply today, or if you have the Bible today in front of you, or you have the Bible with you, then it's there for you to apply. And if you don't agree with something that's said in there, then you should take and rip that page or that book out of the Bible. Many people say, well, Hebrews, that was for the Hebrews. That's not for us. But how many people are ripping the book of Hebrews out of their Bible and getting rid of it? Or taking a Sharpie or an X-Acto knife and cutting out the scriptures that they don't want to accept. And you either accept it all or you don't. And then when you accept it all, you let God go through it with you. And you let God tell you what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And we're not going to sit here and try to tell anybody and demand anybody, this is what you have to do. But this is important, because as Sean was alluding to, he said, nobody in our gathering wears an actual physical covering, but the key word in that was physical, because everybody who's in our gathering has a covering, and we have had some that haven't been in the gathering or that have been in the gathering that tried to walk uncovered, and they have been removed from the gathering for a time until they repent to God. And what, you remove people from the church? Yeah, you have to expel the immoral brother. If somebody's not going to do what God said to do, and they're going to try to circumvent, and we've had that happen, they're welcome to come back when they repent and they change their attitude and mindset. No problem at all. And so it's not a permanent thing, but it's necessary that everybody in the church has a covering. But the covering is different according to each person, because the way God laid things out and lined it up. And so I'm going to just read through this section of scripture, and then we can get into the discussion about the head covering and some of the stuff that has been revealed, because I know Anna Ruth did some research, and she had come up with some stuff that Mother had directed towards her. And we'll get into this. I'll read the scripture, and then either Sean or Anna Ruth, you can take it after that, and we'll see where it goes. All right, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it's on covering the head in worship. I praise you for remembering me in everything, and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. But I want you to realize that the head of every woman, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man. The head of Christ is God, and every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. In the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off of her head or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. And then a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. So I'm going to pause right there, and we'll talk about this a little bit and get into what is Paul saying, and what is Mother's direction and guiding on what to do in this situation.
As I was just listening to that, it just, that Yah has an order, because the Word of God says that Yah is a God of order. And really, just it was speaking to me, I wasn't the physical part of it, really just in my mind, like my mind just went to the spiritual part. I wasn't ignoring it, but just the physical wasn't thinking about it, because of the spiritual aspect that everybody is answerable to somebody else, that there's an order, that saying that you have Yah, you have Abba and Ema, that Yeshua is in line to answer to them, and then those man is in line to answer to Messiah, and then like Anna Ruth said, with the husband to the wife, that there's an order, and if you get out of that order, you're going to have your head uncovered. Just like if I'm with the work I do with insurance, that if you don't have coverage because you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you're uncovered. And then when it comes due, well, why don't I have the coverage? Well, you didn't pay your premium. You're not covered anymore. So it's just, there's an order of things with Yah, and just came to mind about being accountable to Yah, and there's an order of it. And don't get out of that order. Stay in the order. Stay in the setup that Yah has. Don't circumvent it, because, you know, it's, and then it goes to the physical. Well, if your long hair is your covering, and if you're not covered, you might as well, if you get your head shaved, because it's a sign of you being uncovered. So make sure that you're in that place of protection with Yah. And, you know, because just thinking about it, just any gathering like that, if there's some issue going on in the Corinthian church, that's why Paul is bringing it up. Is there somebody attempting to put their place above somebody else? Or, you know, it's kind of like, know the role that you're supposed to be in and stay in it, because that's the most functional, best thing for you, is what came to mind.
So I had done a little bit of research, and then we'll get into some of the, I'll let y'all get into some more of the spiritual stuff, but for some of the research that I had done in that time frame, specifically, so Corinth was actually overtaken by the Romans at this point, but it was a Greek colony before that. And the research I did showed that there's no word in the Greek that means sign or symbol, and there's also no word for veil. So it is talking about a head covering, but if there's no word for veil, then you have to look at what that head covering means. And then the word they said that would be, is that, I think it was like exousia, something like that. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly, but the word would be power, authority, or freedom over the woman's head. So that's important for the next little bit that we'll get into. And then as far as the reasoning for like the shorn hair and that kind of thing, so I did a little more research into this, and apparently it actually even goes back to the Old Testament, that adulterous women had to have their head shaved. So that is why it would be such a disgraceful thing. So I had checked into, like, I had heard that prostitutes at the time shaved their head, but the research I did negated that, because they said another sign of a prostitute was beautiful long hair worn down. So if the in their society at that time, married women wore their hair up because they're seeing them with their hair down was supposed to be something for their husbands. Because, like, it may seem weird in our culture today, but it's probably the equivalent of a woman going around topless or something like that. Like, there's a modesty, privacy aspect involved. And the women, not necessarily, I don't think they were doing it to be immoral. They thought because there was freedom in the church, they could wear their hair down, which was a sign to other men that they were available. So it was kind of like they were showing an adulterous side, even though I don't think in their minds they were attempting to be adulterous. So it was putting back the order of, well, I guess that would go back to the submissive part of your husband, or making sure you're conducting yourself in a modest way. So that was just something I had gotten. I had just been doing some research and I thought that was cool. It was more of, it was a sign, like that's the reason. It was a sign that you could have been an adulterous woman. So that's why it would be, if it's a shame to shave your head because of adultery and wearing your hair down would be, I mean, they go together and that's what makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't know that part about the actually the adulteress, and that makes so much even more sense with the what Paul was saying about having a shaved head, because that puts you in a place of being an adulteress, and that's shameful that you shouldn't be like that. And Paul is talking to the church; he's not talking to people in the world, and he's leaving people in the world alone to let them do what they want to do. But as far as it pertains to the gathering of the church, this is what Paul's talking about. One of the things that needs to be clarified is, again, through interpretation, people will read this and say, well, the man doesn't have to be covered, and that's not fair. Well, in reality, the man is covered. But it's what Paul's doing when he puts this as far as the man being uncovered would be him being in a place of oppression under his wife. Not that the wife should be oppressed under him, but that's the way it would be, or him submitting to her oppression and her exalting herself. She, you know, her not being covered, she's going to exalt herself over her husband that she's going to tell him what he needs to do, and she's going to make sure that he does it. And again, this isn't from us, this is from God, because God is the one who set this order in line. And just because there's an order of things does not take away the equality factor that we have as men and women, because men cannot continue to survive on the earth without women, and women cannot continue to survive on the earth without men. That's the bottom line. And too many people are like, well, men could survive if it wasn't for the procreation, and women could, well, it'd be harder for them. And it's like, no, neither one of them won, because there's a balance that's supposed to take place in the midst of it. Unfortunately, we have that balance that is way out of whack because of what the enemy's work is. But what Paul was saying was, just like God, when he said, told in the Old Testament law, when he told women not to dress in men's clothing, and not for men to dress in women's clothing, he's doing the exact same thing here. He's just saying, don't reverse roles. If you reverse roles, then the man's covered and the woman's uncovered, and that's not the way God designed it, and therefore you're going to have to answer for that. And it's not about answering to man. It's about answering to God, because the reason he goes through and explains that Christ is the head over man, okay, Christ is our covering, and then God the Father is his covering. And so that's the order and the line in which things take place. And so Paul was just laying it out, and those he was talking to in the church would have understood what he was saying, because, again, yes, it was part of the culture, but we don't use culture to remove. Well, we don't do that because we live in a different culture. No, faith in God is about you changing your culture from what you have it here to the culture of the kingdom. And it's important that we recognize that, because that's exactly what Paul was saying. And I really like the aspect of the power and freedom, because this goes back to submission. For a woman, she has that power and freedom, which means that if she walks in line with what God says, and the man is the one doing things wrong and gets them into a situation, she has freedom from being addressed by that issue, because she did what God said to do, and so God's going to leave her alone. That's a beautiful thing. So that gives her both power and freedom. And Ruth, is it easier to reject or submit? Like, is it easier for you to reject submission, the submission aspect, or is it easier for you to submit?
I mean, at this point in my life, it's easier to submit. There's actually a situation in our family right now where my husband and I have just haven't been on the same page about something, and I have been praying about it and trying to figure out how to regain or establish peace where we're both unified and on the same page. And it was given to me to present him the situation, give him all the details, pros and cons, and then leave the decision in his lap and say, whatever it is we're going to now. He knows. I didn't really tell him, but I was like, talk to Yah and see what they would have us do in this situation. So it's not just him, like, well, he could make the decision to not talk to Yah and make whatever decision. And again, that's where the freedom on my part would be. The responsibility for that decision lands completely on him, because he's the one who would have stepped out of his covering if he doesn't take it to Yah. So does that answer?
Yes. And that's the thing, though. If he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, you have no worries. Whether he makes a right or a wrong decision, that's not your concern. Now, it's not a, you don't get an attitude and say, yeah, that's right, it's your problem. And you, no, because now we swing the other way. But you have freedom. This is the thing a lot of people don't realize, that there's freedom in cooperation. There's freedom in submission. Because submission has to be completely willful in order for it to be submission. And we've changed things in the world to make it seem like, well, you're forcing me to be submissive. No, I can't do that.
Well, and the cool part, and this just speaks to where I'm at in my faith journey, I don't have, there have been many times where I've had hidden agendas, and this is what I know we should do, whether I knew it's what I wanted to do. Like, I think Sean had mentioned about, like, serving self, and where do fights and quarrels come from among you? Now, in this situation in particular, I'm like, I want unification and peace for our household. So I truly want him to evaluate and make a decision based off what brings the greatest peace to our household. And I'm like, again, this is unique for, this is probably the first time in my life where I can say this, that I'm 100% okay with either decision he makes. And that's not a, there is no, at this point, like, I, you know, checking that part of myself or whatever. I'm like, no, I want the peace of our household and for our family more than this item we're chatting about. So talk to Yah. Obviously, I'm not getting something, or, you know, they'll give you the peace that we need. And then, and the point of it is, whatever decision he makes with Yah, he has ownership of, which will remove any possible point of contention, because we will both be completely unified on it. So it's just a really cool spot to be in on my part at this point.
And one of the things that we've talked about in the gathering that Yah had brought to us, that, and this is a good thing to get in your mind, because you think, well, we have to do what's right. We have to do what's right. And then both parties end up fighting against each other. And the reality is it's better for you to be wrong and unified than to be right and divided.
And just even with that, and again, my understanding of submission and my role in faith is just so different, because, like, the item we're talking about is, like, whether or not I should close my massage business just because of timing and different things like that. And it has no bearing on salvation or faith. And so the concept to me of a right decision or a wrong decision, the right decision is what brings peace to our household. So that it's such a cool place to be. Like, it's not, oh, I should get to keep the, again, I'm not invested either way. I love what I do and I love being a mom. And more than that, I love having the unification and peace in our household. So.
And a key to unification is the fact that when you are both unified, then more and more decisions that are made are going to be right decisions, because, and that does, and when we talk about women and making decisions and submissiveness, there's a difference if you're told, you know, don't do that in according to your husband, or you, like the Proverbs 31 woman, you just go about your life and you do things, you make decisions, you make choices, you don't, you know, the major thing is that decisions that affect everybody, we want to talk about and we want to talk them over. And then, you know, what do you want me to do? Because you can't just sit at home and you don't just sit there and wait for your husband to come and tell you absolutely everything you have to do. And no, you live your life. And Proverbs 31 woman is a great example of the submissive wife who is of noble character, but her husband takes pleasure in her and exalts her because she takes care of the house. She takes care of the kids. She takes care of doing the different things. Like it says, you know, she goes and she buys a field. Well, if he's unified with her, he doesn't care if she goes buys a field because he knows that she did it for the cause of the family, and therefore it doesn't matter. So the whole point that I'm bringing up is that the unification between peoples, when you set aside your own wants and your own desires, brings about decisions that are appropriate because you as a woman can explain to your husband, well, this is why I think we should make this decision, but I'm leaving that decision up to you. But there may be something comes along where you're like, oh, no, I'm going to do this and I'm going to, and that's fine. That's, you don't do anything to circumvent the submissive mindset. But if he says, no, we're not going to do that, okay, I'll cooperate. But you will be more unified in the cooperation and make less things that you have to answer for to God by being unified rather than divided. And yeah, I know this is the right decision, but you're not unified. And God's objective for man and woman is that in your marriage is to be unified. The man, don't lord things over her. Don't, you know, respect her and treat her like Christ treated the church. Love her like Christ loved the church. It's all, you know, so it all works together in the midst of it.
Just thinking about this, listening to you all, that the aspect of the sign or the symbol is a sign of power and authority and freedom, that when you're in the position that you're in, like meaning a man is doing what a man should be doing, the will of God, a woman is doing that, then you walk in that fullness of that covering. And we had broken this down, we even talked about this in our church gathering, that with the aspects of the gospel message, that you have the one baptism, but there are baptisms which are different immersions. So you immerse yourself in repentance, that's a partial covering. You immerse yourself in obedience, you're getting more covered. And then you have that ultimate trust when you have the circumcision of the heart, then you're fully covered and you stay in that full covering. Just like if you go into the ocean, you go underwater, that we talked about this, that you have that underwater breathing apparatus, that you stay under the water, you stay fully covered. And it just made me think of the circumcision of the heart as the place where you can have that power and authority. It's not your power. It's the power, the ability of God within, like mother within you, that you have the fullness of it.
and don't come out of that covering, because think about that. If you are fully covered and you blaspheme, then you're uncovered, and then you have to face the wrath of God. So get to the place where you can have that symbol, that mark of power and authority and freedom, because we're called to walk in freedom, you know, that you have freedom to not walk in sin anymore. So why would you go back to it when you've been set free from sin? Why would you go back to it? Because now that you've got the fullness of faith, now you can speak the truth of God because you have the Spirit within you. And like you said, those answers that come to questions, they're straightforward. And it was interesting because I went on Facebook to look for the answer and I couldn't find it. I was like, well, why do I need to go back and read it? Just, you know, mother brought the answer. So just leave it alone. But just think about the covering, like the, what's the mark, what's the covering, is what's the sign, the symbol of that power and freedom is the circumcision of the heart. So think about this, that think about a man being covered and a woman being covered, circumcision of the heart, because your symbol of power and authority is the covering of mother, Abba and Yeshua, that you're able to speak freely. And because we talked about this before, is a woman able to, the, if you go by just the written page, well, a woman is not supposed to speak in the church. Well, if that happened, you wouldn't be here and mother wouldn't be here.
Goodbye.
But it just, it gives, it's you, it's just coming to mind, you have that authority to speak in the church and there's no issue, because if I remember right at the last part of the scripture, it says man is not independent of woman and woman not independent of man in the Lord. Doesn't say separate. So the way man and woman work together. So it's not an oppressive place. It's a supportive place, a covered place. So that's what Yah is talking about, is that it's not that women don't speak in church. It's that don't speak and prophesy and teach with your head uncovered. Make sure that you have mother within you, that mother is speaking through you. So a woman is speaking in the church. But if a woman or a man, if they're not in their proper place, they're going to speak out of turn and be uncovered. And wait a minute, no, get back. It's kind of like you're under a tent and you're shaded from the sun, but don't go out there. And you go out there, I'm going to, no, come back in, because you're hurting yourself and it's hurting the gathering. So just don't teach right now. Just hold off. Just listen until you're at a place where you can understand, because like with you, you have the understanding of this. So you can speak about it, you can teach about it, but if you don't, well, I think that, no, don't teach it, because you're going to be held to, and women and men, you're going to be held to a stricter judgment, because you're the one that's supposed to know the truth. Why are you teaching somebody the error of it? Make sure that you're living it yourself first.
Well, and that's when I was invited to come here this morning to talk about veils and head coverings, I was talking to Mother and Abba and Yusha, and it was like, I will go on there and be a voice, but I'm going to have to be really careful because I don't have full understanding of this. And my plan was to not make any kind of definitive statements, because I did, again, I didn't receive the last little bit of information until yesterday. So I was asking them to guide my words, make sure that I speak what I know what I speak, because if we're putting this out and I'm responsible for this, I'm not going to put out things that I think about, or, I mean, I would share, I think this, but it was going to be very clear that I didn't have an answer for this until, and I had talked to Mother about guiding me, and I was like, you know, give me the answers and whatever. And I was told to call Phil and run by him some of the research and stuff I had done. And I think we talked like 3 or 4 times yesterday, because Mother just started, between the two of us, giving each of us little pieces of information, which came to this excuse me, beautiful understanding. And Sean, you already brushed on it, but I just want to make sure that we come out and say and clarify exactly what the covering is, because it was this huge understanding for me. So I'm going to turn it over to Phil and let you chat.
Well, it's interesting, because what you got about doing your research and Mother directing you to the aspect of power, authority, and freedom ties beautifully and perfectly into this aspect. And we're going to speak about this aspect from somebody who, for a female in the gathering who has circumcision of the heart, but we'll also touch on later on if we have female in the gathering that doesn't have circumcision of the heart, and how does that, you know, what pertains to that, and how does that pertain it? So, yes, we had, it was funny because she called me first, and then she told me what she had, and I had been talking to Mother because I was doing the same thing. I'm not, you know, if I think I know something, I'm going to make sure that I state it as such. And but the beauty part of Mother, because we all wanted to make sure that we were speaking appropriately, she just kept giving information. And so I called Anna Ruth back, and then I called her back, and then I called her back. because truly we want to make sure that when we're getting into something that we know what we're talking about. And it doesn't matter if Mother gives us the revelation 5 weeks ago or 5 minutes ago, as long as we know it's the truth of God, then we want to go with it. And it was interesting because she had shared with me the stuff that she had gotten. I was rolling that in my mind while I was at work, and my job really permits me to be able to do that. So, and then towards the end of the day, I was driving and wasn't thinking about that at all. And Mother comes to me out of the blue and she says, "Well, what do you think about this?" And then, of course, that was my call back to Anna Ruth and tell you, you know, let her know what Mother had given me. And for a woman to pray and prophesy in a church, the ultimate covering that she should have should be circumcision of the heart. And in that circumcision of the heart, she, not only does she submit to the power and the authority of God, but it also gives her power and authority and freedom. And that freedom, that circumcision of the heart, is your covering, your mother in you. And therefore, it gives you the freedom to speak in the gathering and speak in an appropriate fashion within the gathering. Because I know Anna Ruth, if she speaks something that Mother gives to her, she's not going to try to force any of the men in the gathering to do what it is that Mother brought through her. And I know Anna Ruth should be like, Phil, Sean, take care of that. But that's okay. She's doing what she's called to do. And she can prophesy, you know, but her head covering, and anybody who has circumcision of the heart, their head covering is the faith, which will then entail all the things that God asks you to do. You know, God asks you to be submissive to your husbands. If you think that you don't have to be, or you don't want to be submissive to your husbands, then you don't have faith in God. You know, if you don't want to be a quiet and gentle spirit, you don't want faith in God. You don't have faith in God. And it's you, by you fulfilling all the things. Don't try to be what a man's supposed to be. By you doing all those things, you fall under that authority, that sign of authority, which you recognize that God is the ultimate authority. And so I'm not going to exalt myself over somebody that I'm not permitted to exalt myself over. And we have guys that are in the gathering that don't have circumcision of the heart yet, and they do not have the authority to teach or to hold anybody accountable because they don't have circumcision of the heart. Doesn't mean they can't be there, but they have to conduct themselves in such a way that it's not trying to, we're trying to teach. Well, you don't have Mother in you, so it's not time for you to teach. And even when you have circumcision of the heart and Mother's in you, you're not free to teach immediately anyway. Paul talks about that, where he says, don't let the new believer have the freedom to teach, because he may go the way of the enemy and get prideful. So hold them back for a little bit and let them continue like everybody else until the appropriate time that they're ready to do that. But that was mother's voice and mother completely speaking, and it makes perfect sense because that's what the authority on your head is ultimately God. It and that's for everybody in the gathering. And though my covering does not look like your covering, but my covering falls under the same guidelines of this is what God designed you to be as a man, and this is what God asked you to be in the gathering, and you make sure that's what your mindset is, and that's what you're changing your heart to be, because you have to do that because you want to. Now, we want to be careful with saying, well, you have to do it because that's obligation. And no, I want to do, and I want to conduct myself in a way that is appropriate according to God. But it was just such a great revelation because we were, I know that the a sign of authority over a woman is submission, that not from an oppressive perspective, like has been done in the world, but from a unified perspective and understanding. And then mother just bringing that to me, saying that, it's circumcision of the heart for the one who has circumcision of the heart. She is covered, and therefore she can pray and prophesy. And remember, Paul's talking about what goes on in the church gathering. Okay. Go ahead.
I just had this came to me, and I want to make sure that we don't leave this as like a point of confusion. So when it says a guy shouldn't cover their head, but we know they should have circumcision, can you just, it's a little confusing to me at this point. Can you just elaborate on what that might
right. It's what I said earlier. It's a man covering his head would be the aspect of allowing the woman to have authority over him rather than Christ being the authority over him being the authority over the woman. And again, when we talk about authority over somebody, we're not talking inequality because there's a equality that God has with everybody who's in faith. So that's the understanding is that would I have authority to pray and prophesy in the church if I wasn't appointed from God as an overseer and if I didn't have circumcision of the heart?
Well, and that's what I wanted to clarify was we're not saying women have to have circumcision of the heart, but men don't. And I didn't want that to be confusing.
Well, what came to me was that if you were to, all right, well, Ann Ruth wants you and Cindy to go over here. No, we're not doing that. Okay, well, we'll do what you want. Then now now my head is covered because I allow you to have authority over me. So now I'm under you. So I'm covered under you. No, you're not supposed to be under the woman. You're supposed to be in that position to where if you say, okay, I'll do it, then you stay covered. Right. It's just talking about the line of authority, the way that Yah has it in place, because I remember for my wife that something came to mind. She's like, all right, overseers, you do it, because I don't want to be uncovered, with that situation that stay, like, you're not going to come to me and say, Sean, stop doing what you're doing. You need to do your job this way. Well, now, okay, Anna Ruth, I'll do that. Now I'm uncovered with theory. I'm under you. So it's just showing like that as men and women know the role that Yah has for you and stay in that so that you're covered and or not uncovered.
Well, and it's important, like you brought up about insurance, that you make sure you know the policy and you stick to the policy. Because, and when we correlate this to faith, we look at the Bible as the policy. And you are at one point required to uphold everything that it says until circumcision of the heart. And then God says, no, there's a spirit of the law. That was the transformation that my son made. And so now we're going to let you understand what the spirit of that law was, just like the dressing in the other gender's clothing was a representation of don't step outside of the bounds of what God has set. You know, don't try to be a man, or man, don't try to be a woman. Just be what you, your creation is, and do it to the best of your ability. And you're right, you know, because if with circumcision of the heart, it's it, that's what gives you the authority to preach and teach. And unfortunately, in today's church, this is not a presented part of the gospel message, and it's not a presented importance of proof of faith is for you to have circumcision of the heart. And part of it is because they don't know what it is, so they can't talk about it. But if you can't talk about it, then you can't know what it is. And if you don't know what it is, you can't have it. And if you don't have it, then you're holding on to something that man has told you, this is what you do, instead of doing it appropriately. And so, yes, for clarification purposes, yes, that's where my authority comes from, is through circumcision of the heart. Now, there was a time when we started this gathering that none of us had circumcision of the heart. And God told us to start it, and then we obeyed Mother, and we did what God said to do, and that's what was able to carry us on. And so I also want to touch on, okay, what if you have a woman who's in the gathering who doesn't have circumcision of the heart? Well, she can't have her head covered, so she can't pray and prophesy. No, that's not what we're saying, okay? If you have somebody who, and this can apply to both men and women, because even men in the gathering that don't have circumcision of the heart still have to have that covering of Messiah to be there, and it falls under a similar guideline as this one. And the reality is that if the woman's there and she's being respectful to the things of God, of what the word says, and it could be, you know, the obligated obedience that, you know, well, I'm doing this because God, this is what God says is right to do, and so that's what I'm going to do. And so she conducts herself in a way of being submissive and not trying to lord things over people that she's not supposed to, not trying to have authority over men in the gathering. And and again, this isn't an aspect that all men have authority over all women in the gathering either. Now, the authority line is given out by God, and as the overseers, that's our responsibility to do that. But for like my daughter is a really good example of how a woman should be covered when she's in the gathering, because she'll have questions and then she presents some things, but she's presenting them from a facilitation perspective, not a teaching perspective. And she's very humble with, she's not like telling everybody they're wrong and you need to do this and you need to do that. She's works with, and Anna Ruth can verify to this, a quiet and gentle spirit. Now, outside of the gathering, she still has some stuff to work on like the rest of us.
I would say, don't we all?
Right. But with Victoria, she's displaying that, well, this is what God wants, so this is how I'm going to act. So that's her covering, is that she's falling in line with what the word says, even though she doesn't have circumcision of the heart yet. And so she has that covering as well, and it's not a disgrace because she's not trying to force us to do anything, and she's not trying to teach, but she will present things that Mother will give to her. And she's brought, Mother's brought a lot of good understanding to us through her, but it's always been done through a reverent, right perspective. And so that's definitely the way that God wants women to conduct themselves if they don't have circumcision of the heart. And the difference is that you may be doing it out of obligation, but you're doing it out of respect to God, because this is what God asked me to do. this is how God wants me to be.
Well, and with Tori, I don't even see it with her as an obligation. Like, she genuinely wants to share what she has, and she genuinely wants to do it in a respectful, humble manner. Like, she's just, she's one of the few people that I've met that just has this gentle, sweet nature. And I'm, trust me, this girl can also throw down with some frustration, anger. Like, she's not just a doormat, but like, her nature itself is just so inherently sweet. And I've learned so much from her. But not only, I want to say that the way she does it, it's not just if, like, before circumcision of the heart, because truly, if that's how you should conduct yourself in the gathering pretty much at all time, unless you're an overseer specifically correcting an issue that Yah has told you to. Because there have been moments where there's been rebuke that comes through the overseers and stuff like that. And that's y'all's role at this point, and that's what you're called to do. That's not my role. But even if I have something to present, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, so-and-so is wrong and you've done this here. And no, we talk about a lot. One, if you're given something to present, Yah's telling you that you need first and foremost to learn something from it. And then it's for everybody. And then if you're bothered by it, then it's specifically for you. So it's just a cool, again, I go back to the scripture that says you should all be submissive or cooperative to each other in the gathering for the purpose of learning more truth about Yah.
Yeah, because if somebody comes in that, because we've had this before, that people will come in if they have the right attitude, you know, the humility that, you know, I'm just going to go in and listen. I'm not here to argue, that Yah doesn't have any problem with that. Now, you're going to come in and cause contention. Well, we don't have contention and arguments in the gathering of Yeshua. Now, if you're in the world and you want to do whatever you want, that's fine. But here, no, we're not arguing. We're not having arguments. We're not about fighting and quarreling. So, and it made me think of the scripture where, you know, talks about circumcision of the heart, that those who do not have the law, they do by nature what's required by the law. They're a law unto themselves. So it made me think of that, even if you don't have it, that you agree with, well, this is God's truth and it's right, that Yah has no problem with that if you're just going to sit and listen, because how are you going to learn? That just shows that you have the right attitude. That doesn't mean that you're where you need to be, but if you're, because just thinking back, that people that have come in that have had the mindset of just, I just want to listen, and that Yah doesn't have any problem with that, but they're still looking for that full commitment from somebody that comes, that they don't just want people just to dip their toe in the water and leave that. But if you're going to just come in and, hey, I just want to come in and listen, I'm not going to argue with anything, or can I, yeah, you can listen, you know, but it, if you're going to come in to prove, say somebody's wrong or something, well, you don't have authority to do that. So you need to go ahead and leave.
And I was just going to jump in and really quick and say that questions have always been welcome in the gathering, whether you have circumcision of the heart or not. If you have a question, and often if we have somebody new, we try to be helpful and make sure to open the floor and be like, you know, do you have any questions? Does that make sense? Because it's not about sitting there like a bump on the log. It's simply, if you don't know what you're talking about, then you're not going to say, well, Yah said this, and you don't even know who Yah is.
And you made an excellent point was made about, this letter is not for the world. This is for the church. And it's not just the church in Corinth, because the church in Corinth was meant to be the church of Yeshua, just like, you know, Yeshua wrote to the church in Philadelphia, the church in Sardis, Laodicea, all that, that this is the church of God. This is the way the church of God operates. So this isn't us telling people anything they have to do. This is just answering a question on what does this mean to have a woman with their head covered? Well, from the truth of God, this is what the truth of God says, that it's ultimately spiritually about circumcision of the heart, because the physical part of it was for a time, and it's not gone away. It's just there in Messiah, there's a transformation to the spiritual is the greater way. Now, we're not lessening the physical, but what does it benefit just wearing a head covering? What does that prove anything? It's just like Abraham got the sign of circumcision. You have the physical first. no, it's circumcision of the heart. Yeah, I'm not going to do the physical. No, they didn't have that revelation. So are you going to obey me or not? All right, well, I obey God that physically you get circumcised, but what's that the sign of? The full commitment, obedience to God, circumcise your heart, do what you can do. And then there's a circumcision coming later by the hands of Yah that you can't do. But it's a, how can you understand the circumcision of the heart if you don't understand the circumcision of the foreskin? There, what's the foreskin, the sin nature? So Yah is giving a physical. If you don't understand the physical, how can you understand the spiritual? So Paul is given a physical so you can understand the spiritual. So they go together. And, you know, Yah, can I wear a head covering? I just, you know, because there's different things you can order. And I don't know, I just, as an outward sign, just like, well, I want to be baptized because internally, and you know, Yah doesn't say anything. Yah, I'll just wear like a prayer shawl or something like that. But you have to, no, it's not about, I just want to wear this because I want to wear it. And Yah hasn't said anything. So who am I to judge a brother or sister? You know, they answer to God. So let them go to Yah and tell them what they, you know, because I don't need to sit here and tell you all what to do. No, y'all make it clear to them. I don't need to. Now, y'all may say, hey, they're not seeing this or something, but it just came to mind, the physical to get to the spiritual.
Well, and keep in mind that we are to judge those inside the church so that if there's something seen, it's addressed early enough that it can be, you know, it can be fixed or it can be remedied. That's just really important. But I want to go back to and say that if you read the scripture and you wonder about what does it mean, and you really want to know what God's objective in it is, do exactly what it says. If that means you buy a prayer shawl and you wear that for a while, you buy a veil, you do whatever, you wear that for a while because you're not sure, but you want to be obedient to God, and therefore, well, I'm going to do it. And don't let anybody tell you that, no, you can't do that. But also know that that's not the end result of what God's looking for. God's looking for you to have circumcision of the heart, where you will conduct yourself in an appropriate manner in the gathering, which then allows you to do that because you have that sign of authority over your head. But don't write it off because, well, that's a cultural thing. Well, if you don't know or you don't have the circumcision of the heart and you want to make sure you're obedient to God, then by all means, put a head covering on and don't let somebody tell you don't do that or you don't have to do that. Because too many times we let somebody else make our decision for us instead of us saying, no, this is what God says they want. I'm going to do this, but I'm also going to ask them that if there's a clarification that I need or a change to make, to make it clear to me, and then I'll make that change. It's just hugely important. And when we look at this, let's understand Paul's not talking about hair in pertaining to the church. He's using it as a parable to understand what God is directing in the church. And another place that gets misconstrued is that at the end of this section, Paul makes a statement, and people misconstrue it for Paul saying that, well, since people are contentious about this, you don't have to do any of this in the churches. And we want to be clear on what Paul's saying, okay? Paul's saying that for you to be in the gathering in the church of God, you must be covered. Whether it's obligatory or submissive, you must be covered. And Paul's not mincing words on that. But we get to the end of it, and it says, if anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. And he says, we have no other. This, I've told you what I've told you. I've said what I've said. We don't have any other practice other than a woman has to be covered when she's in the gathering, just as well as a man has to be covered from the different perspective. Everybody in there has to be covered, because if you're not, you're not permitted in the gathering of God. And you don't have to have circumcision of the heart to be there. you have to have the willingness to seek God with all of your heart, and in that, the willingness to do whatever God says to do, and then when clarification comes from Yah, then you make whatever is necessary to change. But too many people want to change the word of God and say, well, Paul was saying, see, here it is that he said that we don't have any other practice in the churches, so you just do with it what you want. If you want to wear a veil, wear a veil. If you don't want to wear a veil, don't wear a veil. And I say, no, Paul. And Paul would be in 100% agreement with this, that when you're in the gathering, you must be covered. And if you're not covered, you'll be removed from the gathering. That's the bottom line. And he's just saying that as far as anything else, that's all we have on that matter. But that does not remove what he just said, because why would he go through all of that just to write it off and say, yeah, psych, you don't need that. No. There's a reason and a purpose behind why he did that.
Well, and I was just going to mention as well, when it talks about, I think, does it say that the woman's long hair is a covering or a glory to her or something? And again, if you look at the fact that if your hair was shaved, you were a prostitute, well, then he's saying you being a faithful woman is a glory to you. He's not specifically meaning that whomever has the longest hair is the prettiest woman. He's saying, no, if you've remained true to your vows and you haven't committed adultery, that's a glory to you, versus if you have committed adultery, then it is a shame to you. So that's kind of where I just thought that was really interesting.
Right. And if you're shaving your head because you're trying to look like a man, or if you're growing your hair long because you're a man and you're trying to look like a woman, now we got a different objective. But there are some guys have long hair. Some women have short hair. But here's when he talks about the shave thing, is he's really trying to drive the fact of it's a disgrace. And I can tell you that probably 90% of the dating community would cease to date, if from the male perspective, if all women shave their heads, because it's the hair is a sign of beauty for a woman, that God created her that way. And therefore that's what men like. They don't realize they like it. They don't understand that that's something that is attractive to them, but it's the reasoning by why you do it is the main factor. And just bringing up that Paul, you know, he wants to make sure that, you know, that like it's disgraceful for her to have her head shaved. Why? Because she's a prostitute. And that's not permissible. So because in the Church of God, you're supposed to be moving away from sin, not continuing in sin. And so I would say, don't let other people dissuade you from doing what the word says. If anybody dissuades you, let it be Yah, the one dissuading you. It doesn't mean that you can't talk to people and have Socratic conversations about these things that are in the Bible. But ultimately, you have to answer for yourself. And so take it back to Yah and make sure you're in a place where you can hear their voice, so you know clearly what they want you to do and how they want you to do it.
Just beautiful how Yah works, because the same spirit moving and working mother, that things will come to mind. And it was just like, I was thinking about something and Phil just took it. Well, he didn't take it, but it was just because I've had this in my life. I mean, I know 100% positive that if I, and men can have this too, but just seeing like a woman like that has cancer and she shaves her head, it's just, I look at that and it's just something isn't right about a woman without her hair. It's just something. But then, you know, you look at women, and because I had that thought that there's something to that. We don't just write off and say, well, no, it doesn't matter the physical part. It does, because there's a reason for that. And when you see like a man with long hair, it's kind of like, I wonder why he has long hair. Or people say, well, he's a girl because he's got long hair. But it's just, it's something that, and I'm not saying that you don't have long hair, women can't have short hair and none of that. It's just,
I've just noticed that when you see that, just, and for me, it's like something just isn't, that doesn't look right. Like a woman's not supposed to have her head shaved like that. You know, like some, like just from my experience, like a woman going through chemo or something, and maybe like not just short hair, but completely, you know, bald. And just for me, it's just looking in the eyes, it's like, that's not what you're supposed to be. That's not, I wouldn't even say appropriate. Well, say appropriate just with the things of God, that, because you're not walking around with your head physically shaved. And not that Anna Ruth don't do that, but it's just like, it just, with circumcision of the heart, that there's a different look to it, that, oh, you're covered. Like it's a different thing. So I just find that interesting.
And it's be clear that if we talk about somebody who has cancer and has lost their hair through chemotherapy, that's not something that they've done to try to make it look like. As a matter of fact, most women who have that happen are devastated by the fact that it happens. And so we're not putting them down because they lose their hair in that situation, because it's not by their choice, and God holds no aspect of accountability to them that they don't have long hair. And it's really, like you said, it's, everything goes back to the spirit of the law, and the spirit of the law of this is you must be covered to pray and prophesy. Otherwise, you're being a disgrace, not to man, but to God, because God is the one that designed this in the first place. So figure out what it is that you need to do, and then do it, even if it's obligation at first, until you find that place of circumcision of the heart, or actually even before that, you make the willful decision that, no, I'm doing all this stuff because I want to, not because I have to, and I'm going to do what the word says, and God will clarify what it says, and God will make it clear to you what they want you to change. You don't have to. I mean, it would be good to go back and read the Old Testament laws and evaluate them, and then take them to Yah and say, okay, I see this is written like this. Is that how you want me to carry it out? Do you want me to work through this from that perspective? Or is there a spiritual perspective that I'm not seeing that you want me to work it out with?
And I was just going to, as far as like the physical hairstyles and stuff, because I don't want us to get like stuck there. In our culture at this time, short hair does not mean you've committed adultery for a woman. Now, again, the difference would be if you are trying to take on a masculine persona. But even for myself, I have this wild mane of curly hair. So I have something called an undercut. So I was kind of chuckling when Sean said I don't have my head shaved, because actually half of my head is shaved, part of the side and underneath. And I've had long hair, short hair. I get bored, whatever. I'm at a point in my life where I prefer my hair long, minus the under. I love my undercut because I'm not walking around like some sort of fluffy mop. But just wanted to clarify that with everything we've talked about, don't get hung up on, well, if I'm truly doing what's right, I'll have long hair. No, that's not. Again, focus on the persona of God. Focus, whomever you are, male, female, focus on yours and go from there. And then if Yah says, grow your hair out or cut your hair short, you know, you do with that what God would have you do with it. But with everything we've talked about, please don't get hung up on long hair, short hair, that kind of thing. Focus on the spiritual covering of Yah, and you won't go wrong from there.
Well, thank you for giving the big picture. Interesting. Because I was just sitting there, I was like, wow, that's the big picture. Thank you for it. It's just nice to have you here, because we get the male and female perspective of this. Like they're, because I mean, a lot of this, you know, Phil and I have been together a while, but to have, you know, you as a female come in and just give more details and big picture too, it's just mother doing her work. It just brings just such clarity to everything. So enjoy having you here.
I think, well, and the reason I did that is because I know that if I were listening to this, I potentially could be derailed by the aspect of, oh, should I have long hair? You know, they said it didn't matter, but then doesn't matter. So that's where I just wanted to jump in and just give some additional clarification on it for all my females out there.
Yeah, they're guys. What do they know?
Pretty much. No.
But yeah, it's the key factor in anything, or whether you do it obligated at, and you will at first, or you have the willful. It's all about obedience to God. If you can find yourself in a place where you know you're disobeying God, then you know you're sinning. And you need to find a place where there is no sin, where that means that, no, I'm not going to disobey God. I'm going to do what God said to do. And you have to stop letting people tell you that, no, you don't have to do that because of this, or you don't have to do that because of that. If that was the case, or and if you decide that's what you're going to do, then buy yourself an X-Acto knife set and start cutting all the other stuff out of the Bible and throw it away and get rid of it, because it doesn't pertain to you anyway. Why do you have it? So, again, Ruth.
Well, and I was just going to say that, and again, this is just speaking from my experience, and it may tie in, well, I think it will tie into everybody else. If there are areas, or when there are areas of scripture that confuse you, or you're kind of like, I don't understand this, or it bothers you, that's a really good place to say, aha, here's a tool. I've got some programming that's telling me this isn't okay. But why isn't it okay? Is it not okay because I'm being selfish and I don't want to make a change? Or is it not okay because I do need to make a change? So you've got to look at both of those, because some of it, again, you've got Yah's influence and the enemy's influence. So you would need to dig. It's just a really good place to say, ooh, if this keeps coming up in my lower conscience, in my mind, and it's bothering me, dig into that. And hopefully you will find one of those hidden treasures that we talk about, and you can make a decision as to what you're going to do with it then.
And let it be your decision.
Yes, and nobody else's, because we're not going to stand, well, we'll be all be standing before the throne, but you'll be facing Yah on your own 100%. So speak what you know what you speak, and know it for yourself.
Just interesting, something came to mind listening to this, that Mother will just bring information and revelation on different things, and just came to mind another piece of the gospel message on why you must come to Abba first to be brought to Yeshua. Because when you're brought to him, he's giving you information of the transference from the physical to the spiritual aspect of the law. So if you're not willing to, by the letter, well, this is what the word of God says, this is what I'm going to do. If you're not willing to do that in the physical first, then you're not, and you're not willing to obey that and, well, really comply to it in your mind first to ultimately get it in your heart, then why would Abba bring you to Yeshua? Because Yeshua is there to show you the spiritual aspect. So I'm going to give you the deeper understanding that goes with it, so you can transfer in me to the eternal part of it, which the eternal part isn't worried about a physical covering. It's about a spiritual covering of righteousness and holiness in me. So get to that point. So it just, it's a starting ground, because we even have evidence of this in the Bible, where Paul references the Old Testament and he says, you know, the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox when you tread out the grain. And it even says, is Yah concerned with oxen in this situation, or is he concerned about us? That it's just giving you a physical of, if you're a part of teaching the word, you're bringing it to people, that you get to eat of the fruit of the fellowship with those people. Don't just think that you're just here to do this and you don't get to benefit from it. But I'm going to give you an example so you can say, oh, so when the ox is, he's going around in a circle, and it's, okay, so that now I can understand what God is saying. So it's to give you a, like a parable, what was said is to give you a physical representation so it can transfer to the spiritual, because we're not doing away with the physical law, but it's a transference, because ultimately the letter doesn't save you. It's the spirit of the law that saves you by mother within you, that's a schoolmaster to lead you to the, it's a shadow of the, like you see a shadow of a figure, but the figure is Yeshua. So that's
the one that you follow. So follow his example. You've learned the shadow, now see the real being of it's the spiritual of it.
As we wind down for this morning.
For this morning.
We're going to continue till tomorrow morning.
Hey, don't laugh at that, because if Mother wants us to, if we've got, you know, slumber party time, we're going to, no.
Somebody will bring coffee. We will call in reinforcements.
Yeah, somebody will bring your child this way as well. just want to say that we do have a Facebook page, Hidden Treasures Revealed, and we have email, hiddentreasuresrevealed@aol.com. Any comments, questions that you'd like to send us, maybe a question you'd like to hear on a podcast, we'd be happy to hear it. And we hope that you enjoy your day. Anna Ruth, do you want to send us off?
Sure. So I just want to express my gratitude and thankfulness to Yah, because I realized that this particular question about women and covering and how does that work, I've been pursuing this answer since I was 14 years old, and I'm turning 28 in April. So that is a 14-year long quest on this journey, and being able to discover it and then hopefully share it with people who may have had the same question is so cool to me. And to have a definitive answer, a logical answer, one that lines up with everything I know to be true, is just huge. So I've been just super grateful, and I just wanted to express that to Yah, that they saw fit to give us this answer, and hopefully it'll just continue to inspire people in their journey. And then I'm super excited to, if anybody has any questions or anything, I'd love to be able to connect with people about things of faith. So please, if you have any questions, definitely send them our way. And again, just keep pursuing Yah and not man.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.